Prologue. Call it woman's intuition. Judy Monroe tilted her head back and looked above for the source of those quiet words. Since she was in a church, and the words had echoed the niggling thoughts in her own head, it wasn't an unreasonable suspicion. But if God was talking to her, he was doing it in a vaguely familiar female voice. "Something just doesn't feel right," the voice said. And he, or rather she, sounded frustrated. So who was talking in hushed tones somewhere off to her right, in these final moments before Judy was to walk down the aisle to become Mrs. Sterling Carroll? With three exceptions, everyone should be in the main part of the church, sitting as a guest, standing as a member of the wedding party, or, in the case of her matron of honor and sister-in-law Bet, walking slowly down the aisle toward the altar. The exceptions were herself, her father, and the wedding planner, who was giving James Monroe final instructions. Wedding planner? Wedding dictator was more like it. From the moment Judy had said yes to Sterling's stunning proposal after a whirlwind courtship, she had felt as if she'd walked into a tornado, and Marjorie Ward, the best money could buy, as Sterling kept reminding her, was running the wind machine. In fact, Judy strongly suspected that if she thought back, she would find that this was the first time she'd been both awake and alone since that momentous yes. The hushed voice came again. "If the bride isn't involved, she could help us, and not warning her is letting her walk into one hell of a post-honeymoon mess." Judy could no more have ignored those comments than she could have flown. She eased over to the side of the vestibule where she'd spotted the barely open door to the crying room, an area set aside for parents to retreat to during services with vociferous children.
I know, said the voice. No one was in sight through the narrow opening, and Judy had to lean close to hear over the swelling music. If those trumpets would pipe down, she could have heard a lot better.
"That's right. He's got the shipment scheduled to arrive 3 weeks and 2 days after they return from their honeymoon. Which will be a little late for her if she doesn't know what's going on, since he's got it all lined up to be in her name." There was a pause, then the voice sighed. When it spoke again, it was resigned. "You're right. We can't risk it. Too much is at stake."
"Okay.
Yes. Yeah, right." Sarcasm kicked in with those last two words. "I'm going to have a great time at this wedding. I just wish I knew if I'm about to watch Bonnie and Clyde getting hitched, or Mary Poppins being tied to Al Capone." Judy started to step back from the door. Her foot caught on the side hem of her dress, and she stumbled, pushing the door wide open. Judy couldn't remember the name of the woman who was rising from the chair set out of the view of the crying room's soundproof window to the main church, but she recognized her. She was the brand new girlfriend of Sterling's best man, Jeff. They stared at each other, frozen in mutual horror. Then Judy saw the other woman's expression change. A flash of sympathy passed across her eyes, followed by determination. She strode forward in a tight skirt, the same style Jeff's former girlfriend favored, and wrapped a hand around Judy's upper arm. "You can't. You can't say a word, do you understand? It's vital. There's a lot riding on this, more than you can imagine. A lot riding on it for you, too. If the deal gets blown now, nobody would ever believe you didn't tell him. You'd be implicated up to your neck."
"Implicated in what?"
"I don't.
Judith.
What on earth?" The stage-whispered shout of Marjorie Ward was the only warning Judy had before her other arm was grabbed in an even stronger grip, and she was propelled across the vestibule to where her father stood, a worried frown blooming across his face.
"Judy, is something wrong?" "No time your music started." Marjorie's hiss overrode Judy's father.
She forcibly wrapped Judy's numb right hand around her father's arm, positioned her left arm at her waist, then curled the fingers of that hand around the base of the bouquet. Vaguely aware her father was regarding her with growing alarm, Judy's mind raced as she stood immobile through another two bars of music. Then two hands shoved her from behind, and her choices were to start walking fast or fall flat on her face. With her father hurrying to keep pace, the bride started down the aisle. Sights, words, questions, and doubts pinwheeled through Judy's brain.
Sterling's expression when they'd run into each other for the first time since high school just over 2 months ago. Calculating had been her first thought, and she'd been on her guard against him trying to get her into bed right away. But he hadn't. Instead, he'd swept her off her feet with a full-blown hearts and flowers courtship, including lavish dates and expensive gestures, never once pressuring her for physical intimacy. The only blemishes in that unreal time had been her uneasy feeling around his friends and associates, and his dismissing her questions about his importing business by saying he didn't want to waste time talking business when they were together. Well, maybe there was one other blemish, but she'd told herself over and over that she was imagining her family's lack of enthusiasm. They'd known the Carroll family forever as neighbors in Lake Forest, Illinois. All anybody ever said was that as long as she was happy, that was all that mattered. How could she help but be happy? She finally had someone head over heels in love with her. It was what her parents had. It was what she'd watched her older brother Paul find with Bette, their cousin Tris discover with Michael, and even longtime ladies' man Grady achieve with Leslie. Surely that was what had been behind the undercurrent of urgency when Sterling proposed to her, wasn't it? A man didn't risk public humiliation by proposing via the scoreboard of a Chicago Bulls game, with TV cameras zooming in for the answer, unless he was gung-ho, right? That head-over-heels love had to be the reason for his rush to get married. What else could it be? I just wish I knew if I'm about to watch Bonnie and Clyde getting hitched, or Mary Poppins being tied to Al Capone. She wasn't Bonnie, so that made her Mary Poppins, which made the man awaiting her at the altar Al Capone. She didn't like the sound of that. You can't say a word. Her, Judith Marie Monroe, who'd never kept a secret in her life. She was supposed to not tell what she'd heard to the man she was about to pledge, as long as we both shall live to. If the bride isn't involved, she could help us, and not warning her is letting her walk into one hell of a post-honeymoon mess. Something was going to happen 3 weeks and 2 days after their scheduled return from a 2-week Caribbean honeymoon, but what? If the deal gets blown now, nobody would ever believe you didn't tell him. You'd be implicated up to your neck. What on earth had Sterling gotten himself into? What was she about to get herself into by marrying him? An oasis of warmth seeped into her numbness as her father placed his hand over hers where it rested on his arm. Are you sure, baby? The familiar loved voice and the simple words stopped the pinwheel in her head, bringing all the sights and sounds, all the questions and doubts into one solid picture. She stopped dead halfway down the aisle. No. She faced her father. No, I'm not sure, Daddy. Thank you. I love you. She kissed his cheek, gave the church a sweeping glance that imprinted the vision of Sterling's members of the wedding party gaping at her, and her members of the wedding party, her brother, sister-in-law, and cousin, beginning to grin. She dropped the bouquet, turned around, gathered fistfuls of her full skirt, and sprinted out.